listen everybody to the words I have to say. Better get ready. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Daniel White III with the Second Coming Watch update. This is update number 897. Let's take a quick look at today's prophecy-related headlines, which point towards the Second Coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the world as we know it. First, today, under the sign category of wars and rumors of wars, according to the Jerusalem Post, an unnamed former senior officer from the Israeli Air Force said a war against Iran and Hezbollah will see Israel pounded by over 1,000 rockets per day, causing never-before-seen images in the Jewish state. He said it's a severe threat to the homeland, and there will be images that have never, ever been seen in the past. According to the anonymous source, if the population remains in shelters, the main damage will be to infrastructure that will be targeted by the barrages of dumb rockets and missiles fired toward Israel, while the thousands of missiles are a real threat. It's not an existential threat like the precision missiles that Hezbollah is trying to obtain. It's a severe threat, but people tend to think in extremes. Israel will not be at zero at the end of the conflict. We have to put it in perspective. People think Tel Aviv will be leveled. Iran and Hezbollah can create damage, and for sure there will be strikes in many locations, and the damage will probably be greater than in the past. But we have to put it in perspective. All of us should be prepared for the day after, which will be different in terms of what we see. But the state of Israel won't be gone. We have to protect life and strategic sites, and that can be done. Infrastructure can be rebuilt. Infrastructure can be rebuilt. Despite crippling sanctions, Iran has the largest missile force in the Middle East, with a substantial inventory of close-range ballistic missiles, short-range ballistic missiles, and medium-range ballistic missiles that can strike targets throughout the region as far as 2,000 kilometers from Iran's borders. Second, today, under the sign category of pestilences and fatal epidemic diseases, according to Breaking Israel News, despite advances in modern medicine, China is setting up roadblocks to cope with an outbreak of an ancient plague that once wiped out one-third of the world's population and may have been one of the plagues that God used to strike Egypt. Chinese officials installed temperature scanners at airports and checkpoints on main roads in an attempt to stop the spread of bubonic plague, as a fourth case was discovered in less than 3 weeks. A program to exterminate rats and fleas which carried the disease, was also launched in Inner Mongolia, where the disease seems to be originating. The latest victim was an unidentified farmer in South Inner Mongolia and was said to be in a stable condition. Those who came into contact with the herder were quarantined. All of the cases so far have been the pneumonic strain of the disease. According to the World Health Organization, the pneumonic plague can be fatal if left untreated and is extremely contagious. Third today, under the sign category of wars and rumors of wars, according to the Wall Street Journal, U.S. officials said the Trump administration is considering a significant expansion of the U.S. military footprint in the Middle East to counter Iran, including dozens more ships, other military hardware, and as many as 14,000 additional troops. The deployment could double the number of U.S. military personnel who have been sent to the region since the start of a troop buildup in May. President Trump is expected to make a decision on the new deployments as soon as this month. Trump, facing an election next year, has long sought to exit foreign entanglements and avoid new conflicts, but on Iran and partly at the behest of Israel, he is convinced of the need to counter the threat his aides say Tehran poses. He also could approve a smaller U.S. deployment. Officials said there is growing fear among U.S. military and other administration officials that an attack on U.S. interests and forces could leave the U.S. with few options in the region. By sending additional military resources to the region, the administration would be presenting a more credible deterrent to Tehran, which has been blamed for a series of attacks, including one in September, against oil facilities in Saudi Arabia. Fourth today, under the sign category of the rise of Gog and Magog, according to Breaking Israel News, Iran announced last week that they will, for the first time, hold joint war drills with China and Russia. Rear Admiral Hossein Khanzadi announced last week that the maneuvers will be held in the northern Indian Ocean area from December the 22nd to January 20th. Khanzadi said to Iran's Tanznim news agency, "When we talk about joint war games, we are talking about two or more countries with a high level of relations in various political, economic, and social fields, which culminate in cooperation in the military sector, with war games usually being the highest level of such cooperation. A joint war game between several countries, whether on land, at sea, or in the air, indicates a remarkable expansion of cooperation among them. One rabbi believes that this will bring together all the elements, to end all of history. Rabbi Pinhas Winston, an expert in Jewish eschatology and author of many books on the subject, noted that this military exercise will bring together many elements that are predicted to be part of the final pre-Messiah war of Gog and Magog. Winston said, "All these events need to be considered because no one knows what will be the final events that spark off the inevitable. This certainly has the elements and the potential, not only because it is politically and militarily charged, but even more so since it involves several nations that have the pedigree that makes them candidates for having an active role in the Gog and Magog war. Fifth today, under the assigned category of earthquakes in diverse places, according to GovTech, California is famous for its catastrophic earthquakes and wildfires, but they are not the state's only natural hazards. As head of the observatory, or CalVo, Margaret Mangan has drawn attention to the state's more overlooked threats, a dozen arrestive volcanoes that stretch from Medicine Lake near the Oregon border to the Salton Buttes in the Coachella Valley. Mangan said, "We are pretty much on 24/7 vigilance." Mangan said, "We are pretty much on 24/7 vigilance." Carrie Cooper, a geologist at the University of California, Davis, said most people are surprised that there are any volcanoes in California. It's just really not on people's radar. It should be. According to a report Mangan and her colleagues released this year, the risk of a small to moderate eruption somewhere in the state over the next 30 years is 16%, about the same as for a magnitude 6.7 or greater earthquake along the San Andreas Fault. Those odds are not something to ignore. Ladies and gentlemen, the prophetic passage of scripture that we are looking at today is Jeremiah 50 and 51. Jeremiah 50, verses 1 through 3 reads, "The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet, declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard, publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Baal is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces, her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast." Dear friends, allow me to share with you some commentary on this passage from Exploring Bible Prophecy from Genesis to Revelation by Dr. Tim LaHaye and Dr. Ed Heinsohn. Jeremiah's most extensive prophecies are against Babylon. As with Isaiah 13 and 14, some commentators view Jeremiah 50:51 as having been fulfilled against ancient Babylon, but the details simply do not fit the Babylon of the past. The passage can only be true of the Babylon of the future, which will be the capital of the world under the authority of the Antichrist. The description Jeremiah gives here fits that of a destruction of Babylon in the course of the War of Armageddon. After introducing his topic, Jeremiah goes on to describe Babylon's fall and Israel's deliverance. The coming future destruction of Babylon will show the failure of the little g gods of Babylon. They will be unable to help Babylon in the invasion from the north. The final destruction of the Babylon of the future is often connected with Israel's final restoration, as is the case here. Jeremiah specifies that at the time of Babylon's fall, there will come the final restoration because of the national regeneration of Israel, which in turn will lead to the final migration back to Israel. This is contrasted with Israel's past condition, which included their lostness and their becoming a prey. Now comes a call for the Jews to leave Babylonia in light of her coming destruction. The destroyers are described as being a company of great nations. Babylon will become a prey to armies from different parts of the world. The desolation of Babylon is due primarily to Babylon's treatment of the Jews. And for this reason, the nations are called to come together and destroy the city. Dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue looking at the prophetic passages of the Holy Bible in our next podcast. Our second coming quote for today is from Dr. Billy Sunday. He said, "The Lord does not come to the world at the time of the rapture, but only reveals himself to the members of his body. At the time of his resurrection, he was only seen by those who believed on him. Pilate and the high priest and those who crucified him did not know that he was risen. So it will be at the time of the rapture. The world will not know that he has been here and will have no knowledge of him until he comes with the members of his body at the close of the tribulation." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray with your servant John, please come quickly. We praise you and we thank you for coming the first time, and we look forward to your coming the second time. Help us to live like it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. If you are not ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, may I encourage you to get ready. Get ready today by receiving him as your Savior. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Keep looking up, dear friend, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let us join in the prayer of John the Revelator when he prayed, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." God bless you.